CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Mohammed Nas El-Din Alam, former Minister of Irrigation in the Republic of Egypt, now a professor of water resources at Cairo University, also a graduate of MIT. I ask for his guidance and help on a matter that is of great importance to the success of the Horn of Africa and the people who live along the Nile River, the blessed Nile River. I read from the BBC report about the River Nile dam dispute these last days. Ethiopia has described as unhelpful the intervention of the United Nations in the long-running dispute over its controversial Nile River megadam. The country's foreign affairs said in a statement that it was regrettable to witness the progress of negotiations has been dragged and politicized. The huge dam, writes the BBC, known as the Grand Ethiopia Renaissance Dam, called GERD, G-E-R-D, has been a point of contention for a decade between Addis Ababa, the capital of Ethiopia, and downstream the nations Egypt and Sudan. Ethiopia said recently that the African Union-led process was important in addressing the concerns of the three concerns, and it was committed to seeing the process to a successful conclusion. Ethiopia says the project is essential to its development and has started filling the dam. The news most recently is the dam is now filled, the Grand Ethiopia Renaissance Dam. Mr. Minister Mohammed, a very good day to you in Cairo. Please explain where this dispute is now. What does Cairo see as the problem with the GERD, the GERD? Hello to you.
Hello. In fact, the issue is that the Ethiopia in 2011, and that's during the Egyptian Revolution, by that time, they initiated the subject and they laid down the foundation of the project as a hydroelectric dam, which will not cause any significant harm to Egypt because of the water will flow through the turbines, so it will generate power for Ethiopia, and the water will go to Sudan and Egypt. And they've done some brief feasibility studies indicating that very clearly. And it went through international committee to evaluate the Ethiopian studies and the real consequences on Egypt and Sudan. And they found most of the studies, including even the engineering design, are not suitable and recommending new studies to be carried out by international firms. None of these studies have been carried out according to our knowledge and Egyptian knowledge in general speaking, and even Sudan knowledge. Till now, that's since 2012, till now, no new studies were carried out. And then negotiation started between the two countries. Ethiopia said that, okay, we'll go for environmental studies. They hired consultants from France. And then after the initial report, Ethiopia refused the consultant and refused the report. And they said, instead of this mess, let us have some local committee from the three countries, scientists who can really lay down the rules for operation and the filling of the dam instead of having international consult. Egypt and Sudan agreed on this, and they continued for 4 years, that since 2015 till 2019, and Egypt felt that there is no any benefit of this negotiation. So they went down, they announced this in the People Assembly. Oh, I'm sorry, on the Assembly of the United Nations, and the United States start to intermediate between the two countries. It didn't work out, as Ethiopia did not attend the last meeting, which they should sign the agreement. And since then, I start going to the National Security Council and other negotiations without any result. And the amazing thing, the whole dam had been converted from a means to generate electricity for the Ethiopian people, which is fully supported by Egypt and Sudan. And that's very clear in the agreement in 2015. But Ethiopia started to ask for a part of a water share from the Blue Nile flow. And this thing has become more complicated. And said we did not recognize the agreement that's held between the Ethiopian government or the Ethiopian king, Menelik II, and the Great Britain in 1902, and we need another agreement to which give us a part or a share of the Blue Nile. Then things become more complicated. I'm not talking about the negative impact of the dam or new rules for filling and operation. No, they're asking for water share from Egypt and Sudan, or in fact to be reduced from the share of Egypt and Sudan. The issue is that is Egypt in very bad shape in terms of water resource availability. You see, the share per person or per capita in Egypt is about 550 cubic meter per year, which is about 50% of the poverty level as identified by the World Bank. So Egypt cannot really give up even a drop of water, and thus create more tension between the two countries. I understand the concerns of Ethiopia, I appreciate it as well, but there are many means to compensate and solve this problem if really Ethiopia and the other two countries can cooperate together and work together. There are a lot of means, a lot of losses in the Nile system, not less than 30 to 40 billion cubic meters in the 10 countries or 11 countries forming the Nile Basin. If we can get together, we can afford water for all the 11 countries, just saving the great losses in the system. But sacrifice part of the Egyptian water quota, that will be miserable and not be accepted, of course, by the Egyptian people. And cannot be done because Egypt in very, very bad shape. Right. In terms of water availability.
I understand. I have a statement from Sudan, a statement from the Ministry of Irrigation and Water Resources. The Ministry of Irrigation and Water Resources, it reads, renews Sudan's firm position in rejecting neighboring Ethiopia's unilateral measures, its fait accompli policies, and ignoring of the legitimate interests and serious concerns of its partners in the river. The best alternative, goes the statement, to this Ethiopian approach, which will only lead to harming the distinguished and historical ties between the two brotherly countries and peoples, is to continue to negotiate in good faith, to reach a binding, comprehensive legal agreement that preserves the interests of all parties. You say, Mohammed, that there is no negotiation now. Is that correct? Ethiopia has,
yes.
Ethiopia is not participating.
No, and Ethiopia refused to end up with some legal document. And Ethiopia said we have to have a water share, which is completely out of scope of the negotiation of the dam or of the reservoir. The third thing, which is also very difficult, is there is new statements brought up by the Ethiopian people. They said, okay, we can negotiate about filling and operation, but the treaty or the agreement will not be final. The final only if Ethiopia can take a share of the Blue Nile. So things are getting complicated a little bit. And as I'm saying, it's very clear. If we have additional water or of both countries, Sudan and Egypt, they have plenty of water, no problem at all. See, the issue is there is a shortage of water, not enough for drinking and agriculture as well as industry, and even now we are relying very much on desalinization and reuse. You see, Egypt now, the overall efficiency is about 80%. It's very, very high. That's why not because only using new or modern irrigation techniques, no, but also due to the multi-recycling. You see, you are reusing the water for about 4 or 5 times in order to increase the efficiency. So it is a difficult situation, but I appreciate the need of Ethiopian people, particularly during droughts, but it needs to be thought of. You see, it needs to be...
Yes, I do see that. And I thank you very much. I'm very much for your help in guiding me on these matters. I hope I can come to you again, Mohammed. You're very kind. You recognize there is a worldwide drought. There's a drought in California. There's a drought in the western United States. For heaven's sakes, exactly. There's even a drought in Brazil. There's worldwide drought. Mohammed
Nas
Mohammed Nas El Din Alam yes. is a professor of water resources at Cairo University, the famous Cairo University, as well as a graduate of MIT, a former Ministry of Irrigation of the Republic of Egypt. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.